Thank you. Wow, the Laughlins just serving so well in this house. Thank you. Thank you both. Hey, it's good to be here. And I feel like this is going to encourage somebody today. I just feel like there's some people that came in a little down and out, and God's going to lift you up right now. He is. If you want it, if you're open to it, He wants to raise you up. He wants to raise you up out of the pit. You've been living in the pit. He wants to bring you out. He's for you. He's not against you. If you've said yes to Him, if you haven't said yes to Him, then you're missing out. Don't you want favor over your life? He wants to give it to you. That's why His Son came. You don't have to live in the pit anymore. He's going to bring you out today. Psalm 40. Let's go to Psalm 40. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. We got Bibles back there. We give them away all the time. We want you to have one. Sometimes we'll get the scriptures up here. Sometimes, you know, if the Lord prompts me, we go all over the place. Psalm 40, verse 1. I told our team in the huddle today, every year that we've been around, I've taken the month of June to just be with the Lord, to just listen to Him, to just spend time with Him. And I just, you know, God's used that time to raise up other preachers and teachers in our house. We've been blessed. It's crazy. They just told us at the Kingdom Builder meeting, this is just like last week or 2 weeks ago, our guy that runs the numbers, Mike Siwa, like, he's a saint, by the way. Thank you, Mike, running those numbers for us. He said, he's like, this is kind of weird, but like, the month that you took off in June from preaching, that was our highest giving month of the year. Okay. No, but like, praise the Lord. Like, it doesn't matter. We're not built on a man except for one man, Jesus Christ. That's who builds the house. And we don't give because, oh, I like that preacher, or I like that worship leader, or I like this person, or I like this ministry. We don't give for that reason. We give because He's God and He's worthy. And in His word, it says, if you can't be trusted with the least, the smallest thing, you know what He's talking about, Jesus there? He's talking about money. That's the smallest thing. How can I trust you with more? Some of you want children. You want kids. That's more. How can I trust you? You're like, God, there's been a block. There's been a block on our lives. There's been a block in fertility in our lives. Why hasn't God entrusted us with kids? And He's just saying, no. If I can't even trust you with the smallest thing, how can I trust you with more? Because the most precious resource I have is my children. So handle this small thing I've given you first. It's a test. Everything in life is a test. How will you handle the test? And some of you are like, oh no, I didn't realize it was a test. This whole time you've been living life, you've been here on this earth 20, 30, 40 years, and this is the first time somebody's ever told you it's a test. It's a test. And you're like, I already failed. Guess what? Today's a new day. His mercies are brand new every morning. You're still here. You're still breathing. You get another shot today. There's a new test. We don't want your money because we need money. I've told people from the very beginning, give because you want to give to the Lord. If you're giving here because you're like, oh, that'll kind of give me influence, or that'll, you know, if I give, then, you know, the pastor will, you know, do what I want him to do. He'll do the programs I want him to do. And you know what? Those people all left a long time ago because they found out we don't work that way here. I don't care if you give 20 bucks, if you give 20,000. Like, you're not giving to me, you're giving to the Lord. I've been commissioned by the Lord. I've been sent by Him to do this because I knew a long time ago when we first started, if this is going to work, it's from God. If it's from man, it's going to fail. And I told Him that, Lord, if this isn't from You, let it fail, let it fall. But every step of the way, there's been provision. There's been open doors. There's been favor that only comes from Him. And so we're not going to force our way through any doors that He doesn't want us to go through. But when you walk with Him, when you walk in obedience to Him, He will open every door that was meant to be opened in your life. And right now, there's some doors that have been closed because you haven't even proven faithful with the least, the smallest thing. That's your money. That's your wealth. And He's just saying, hey, you give me 10%, and I let you have the rest, because guess what? It's all mine anyway. Change your language. You keep saying, I can't part with my money. I'm not going to give him that. This is mine. This is mine. No, no, no. He's the creator of all things. The chair you're sitting on, he created it. The building you're in today, he's the creator. We cannot, you're like, oh, no, no, man built this. Man didn't build the materials. He's the creator and the sustainer. There is no life outside of him. And so you keep thinking and saying, oh, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Nothing you have is yours. You're blessed that he's even given you breath in your lungs. So let's pass that first test today. Why? Because we want you to be blessed. You will reap what you sow. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. Some of you are like, I don't have anything. God, he's not for me. He's against me. I got so little. I got nothing. I got nothing. You're always complaining. You're always complaining. What has he given you? He's given you seed, and you keep holding on to it, and you keep eating the seed. The seed wasn't meant to be eaten. It was meant to be sowed. Sow the seed and watch the harvest begin to grow. There's going to be an incredible harvest when you begin to trust him as Lord of your life. Everybody wants a savior. Everybody wants to be saved. Everybody wants to know, oh, I'm going to go to heaven someday. We struggle with the Lord part because the Lord is right here and right now. Every day, will we walk with him? Will we trust him? Money's a test of trust. Will you trust him that you can give him 10 and that he'll give you more than enough with the 90? And in fact, he'll multiply the 90. It'll do more than sustain you. It's a test. Psalm 40. My goodness, I just, all week I was like, God, what do you want me to preach? I feel like that was a good sermon right there. I could just be done right there. That was good. You don't have to, cheer for him, cheer for him. Like, when we come here together and we eat of the bread, it sustains us, it fills us. We just keep living off the bread of this world. And it's like, if you got to live between this woman in the house, Lydia Laughlin, makes sourdough bread. She makes some sourdough bread around here. We got some people that know it and love it. It's real bread. It's real ingredients. And some of you, you keep living off, what is it, Wonder Bread, like at the store? Do you know what's in Wonder Bread? Have you ever read the ingredients of Wonder Bread? It's not actually bread. It's not. It's poison. It's poison. If you start to read the ingredients, you'll realize, oh my gosh, our world is trying to poison us. Yes. But in Mark 16, it says, my people will drink poison and it will not harm them. I live on that a lot. When I go to McDonald's or Burger King, I'm like, Mark 16, Lord, bless, please bless me. I'm just kidding. I don't eat there. I don't know. We're just having fun. All right. Psalm 40. I'm sorry. I don't know. Sorry if you eat at McDonald's or Burger King. There's no shame. There's no shame. All right, there's no shame. Woo! I'm sorry, Lord. I felt just having too much fun. Psalm 40. Getting serious. All right? Get serious here. Come on. No, he loves. He does. He invented laughter. He invented joy. He wants there to be joy in his house. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. Some of you, you don't know what to do in this season, and you're in a hurry, and you're ready. You're in, what's this psalm titled? Faith Persevering in Trial, a Psalm of David. Some of you are in a trial right now. What's another word for a trial? It's a test. It's a test. I see you, woman of God. I see you. You're helping me preach today. You knew it was a test before anyone else. Praise God. You know. I see you passing tests in this season, by the way. He loves you. He loves you. I waited patiently. You don't know what to do. Wait. Wait on the Lord. I've been feeling that lately. I feel this, a little bit of anxiousness, a little bit of worry, a little bit of, Lord, look at this place. We're running out of chairs in this room, Lord. Where do we go from here? What do we do from here? I feel this. And I feel this tension to try to produce something out of my own strength and my own will. I could call this person. I could do this. We got money in the bank. We could use that money to put a nice down payment on a bigger building. We could do that right now, Lord. And he keeps reminding me, what did I promise you, son? What did I promise you before you even started this church? I said I'd give you your first building. We keep standing on that promise. But I didn't tell our Kingdom Builder team this because the Lord just started kind of stirring it up in me this last week. But in this year of giving, we have been incredibly blessed. I think we budgeted for, where's Mike Siwa? What did we budget for? $300,000 for the year? $315,000? And we're on track to go over $400,000 at this point in the year. And so sometimes we get in these meetings and we get in these conversations and we're like, well, he's giving us money. We could go out and buy a building. We could. But is that what he told us to do? And so I feel like in this next season, we're going to become really stupid generous because I don't even want to be tempted to do something that he hasn't told us to do. And I felt him telling me this past week, you're kind of holding on to that as a safety net. You're kind of holding on to that as a down payment for a building that I told you I'm already going to give you. So we're going to get stupid generous. He's doing something amazing. He's setting captives free. He's bringing people, his people. So you better say yes to him and become part of his people. He's bringing them out of the cave of debt, distress, and discontentment in this season. So I would say right now, join his people because there's provision and there's favor on the lives of his people in this season. There's a supernatural divine protection over his people. So come under the cover of the Father in this season. And I'm telling you, he's going to bring you out of the cave of debt, distress, and discontentment. And you're going to live in a way that you never thought was possible. Say yes to him in this season. Say yes to him today. Don't miss this opportunity. He wants to raise you up and bring you out of the cave. He wants to heal you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to protect you. Wait patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me. The Lord inclined to David and heard my cry. Bring it to him. Bring it to him. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Imagine being in a pit of wet, miry clay, and it just feels like you're sinking deeper and deeper, and all of a sudden somebody lifts you up, and for the first time in a long time, they set your feet upon a rock, a firm foundation. You're not sinking anymore. And he established my steps. He's establishing your steps. When you walk with him, when you say yes to him, he's the one who establishes your steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. There's a temptation in this season, in the testing season, to look to the proud or to turn aside to lies, to try to cut corners, to try to get where you want to get as fast as you can get there on your own power, on your own strength. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You think God's forgotten about you? He has more thoughts about you than can be numbered. You feel like he's distant in this season, like he doesn't care about you, that he doesn't care about the trouble you're in, the pit you're in, what you're sinking into in this season? There's so many thoughts he has about you, they can't be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. When I say we don't care about the money when we give, it's about the heart. Josh said that. Josh sometimes calls himself just a dude in our church. God is raising Josh up in this house. He is. He's a shepherd in this house. Him and his wife, Lydia, they shepherd a small group, and it's one of the best small groups we have. In fact, we tell people this is what we want our small groups to look like. Because you guys shepherd so well. You steward so well. Why? Because you first knew how to handle the least of things. You knew how to handle God's money. And then what? He trusted you with his people. You steward his people so well. And I believe he's looking at you and he's so proud of you both today. He's so proud of you both. You're not just a dude in this church. You're not just a dudette in this church. You're shepherds. And he's raising you up. He trusts you with his people. You steward well his most valuable resource. I don't know what you two are laughing about, but hey, there's joy in the house. He's good. I shouldn't have looked at you. That messed me up a little bit. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. And then what's he do? He multiplies it. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. During that month of June, I usually try to memorize some scripture, whatever scripture the Lord kind of brings me to, draws me to. He drew me to this one, and he said, memorize this. And I told our team this morning that serves, I told them, I've been working on memorizing this, and it's one of the shortest scriptures. I have longer passages of scripture memorized. I said, this is one of the shortest scriptures that I have struggled the most with to memorize. And I told them, I believe it's because in my heart, I'm struggling sometimes in these testing seasons to really believe what I'm saying. Do I really delight to do your will? When I'm in the pit, when I'm in the miry clay, do I honestly delight to do his will in that season? And some of you, you're in that season. And I want to encourage you. Even though you don't feel it right now, just begin to say it. Just begin to speak it. Lord, I delight to do your will. You're a new mom. This is a hard season. There's not a lot of rest. There's moments of fear. Just speak that over your life. Lord, I delight to do your will. I delight that you've given me the honor and privilege to raise this child, to raise this daughter. At 2:30 in the morning when she's up screaming, Lord, I delight. I delight. Just begin to speak it. And even though you don't feel it, as you begin to speak it by faith, it's going to change you and transform you from the inside out. And in a week from that moment, you're going to wake up at 2:30 in the morning and you're actually going to feel it, because choices lead and feelings follow. And so as you choose to speak his word and declare it out over your life, the feelings are going to follow. Lord, I delight to do your will. And all of a sudden, whether you're in the miry clay or whether you're on the mountain, it doesn't matter where you are. You know that you are seated in heavenly places, that he loves you, that he is for you and not against you, and that you know in every season you delight to do his will. There's a great honor and privilege in raising children, to be a mother, to be a father. The devil will try to get you to walk in fear, to get you to walk in discontentment, to feel the distress, to feel the debt. And in that moment, you'll say, no, I delight to do the will of my Father. And your law is within my heart. His law sets you apart. His law frees you. It sanctifies you. It cleanses you. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. You're saved by grace, but you walk in obedience to his word, to his law, because that is where there is a blessing. When you trust his word over the world, when you trust his word over what the proud have said, over what those who look like they have success in this world, but I tell you, it's fleeting, it will not last. Those who do the will of God will live forever. What's the will of God? His law, his word. It's perfected in Christ Jesus. He's bringing you into perfection. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. Some of you, you keep hiding it within your heart. You know the truth, but you hide it. In fact, you just imitate who you're around and you speak like them, you talk like them, you think like them, you agree with them, you nod your head with them, and you know it's not righteous. You know it doesn't line up with his word, but you just want to blend in. You've hidden it. Begin to declare it. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Some of you, your iniquities have overtaken you. That's why we do freedom here. He wants to set you free from your iniquities. What's your iniquities? It's those sins, those things that you feel like you can't get away from and you've almost identified with, and there's part of you, you've just kind of said, it's always going to be this way. I'm always going to struggle. I'm always going to be addicted. I'm just always going to go through this. This is who I am, who I was born to be. No. He wants to set you free from that. Some of you came in here today and you thought all there was salvation, that you wouldn't be free of your iniquities until the day you die. You gave your life to Jesus. You said yes to him. And you said, great, now I know where I'm going to go when my time on this earth ends. I know I'll go to heaven. But right now I'm going to live like hell. And I'm going to do what I want because I'm saved by grace. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're abusing the grace of Christ. Stop. It's foolishness. Because you're abusing yourself and you're missing out on what? What did Jesus say in John 10? I came so that you can have life to the full. You don't have to live surrounded and trapped in your iniquities anymore. That a porn addiction, it can break. That drug addiction, he wants to break it. Alcohol, he wants to break it in the name of Jesus today. There's power and healing through confession and repentance. But you have been taught religion, and religion says, I got to look good, and I got to make sure people know I'm good and think I'm good, and you care more about what people think than what the Lord has already said and what he wants to declare over you today and what he wants you to walk into today. Freedom can happen in a moment, and freedom can happen in 12 weeks, and it can happen in a month. It can happen in a year. It happens over a lifetime. Freedom is not a destination. It's a journey. He wants to walk you out of the cave and walk with you every day the rest of your life. And so there's some of you today, you're going to experience freedom from an iniquity right here, right now, in this moment. He's going to change the taste and desires of your heart and your mind. And you're not going to want that thing that you've been going back to every day. You're not going to want it anymore in the name of Jesus. Man, I feel like that was for somebody right there, but you didn't know that was for you. It was for you. It was for you. He's here right now. We honor his presence because he's here right now, and he's speaking and he's moving. Holy Spirit, we just pray right now that you would just move and speak, and the hearts would be broken. The hearts would shift in this moment. Thank you. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. He's the deliverer. For some of you, it's demonic oppression. What did Jesus do? He came to cast demons out. The church doesn't really talk about that anymore. Many were demonized, it says, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People were demonized. And there's a connection between being demonized and your health, your sickness. Some of you are sick because you are demonized. In the name of Jesus, he wants to set you free today. I'm telling you that. I've seen it. We've seen people delivered in a moment of prayer up here on a Sunday morning. I saw it just a few weeks ago. I don't even know if this girl, if she even realized what was going on, but there's certain ways that demons will manifest. And I saw it in her eyes as I was praying for her. And her eyes kept twitching. I kept seeing the whites of her eyes. And what that is, it's a demon manifesting. And so what did I do? It was just gentle, because Jesus is gentle. And in a moment of gentleness, I just began to speak and declare the life and truth of Jesus Christ over her. And what happened? Her eyes stopped fluttering as she heard the words of Christ. There is power of life and death in the tongue. The power of Jesus. Well, who is he? He's the Word become flesh. When you speak the Word of Jesus Christ over people, they're delivered. And I saw the eyes come back. I didn't see the whites of her eyes again after I began to speak and declare the truth of his word and the freedom that he had in store for her. And she was saved and delivered by the power and blood of Jesus in that moment. That's who he is. That's what he wants to do for you. Some of you, you don't even realize it because they've just told you, oh, that's just a mental disorder. You just need a psychologist. You need a counselor. You need to get on drugs. You need therapy. And some of you, that's what you've been doing. You cannot medicate a demon. You cannot. But you can cast out a demon in the name of Jesus Christ. There's freedom for you. You guys want to take a break? You guys need a break? You just want to keep playing? I don't care. Whatever you want. What do you want? You want a break? You want to keep playing? Lydia's been standing up here a long time. Like, okay, go take a seat. Go take a seat. Go take a seat. Go take a seat. Nah. Some of you are like, he's going to keep preaching? I got a few more minutes. We don't really put ourselves on a clock here. Our main number is we want to be done by, some of you are like, I don't know what time they end. Sometimes they end at 11:15, sometimes 11:30, sometimes 12. I know. We want to leave room for him to move and to speak. And so we don't really try to put a hard deadline on. Now we do, for our kids workers, those who volunteer down there, we do try to dismiss to go get your kids at 11:30. But then sometimes we'll open them back up for ministry time at the end. I'm just telling you, some of you are new here today, and you're like, this is not like any church I've ever been to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No offense to those other churches. No offense. We love them. But the Lord is doing something new in this season. Because at a certain point, what we did is we started to look to the world's models and say, oh, okay, if we just do this, if we cut it down and make it look like this, and we just kind of, what do we do? We became consumeristic. We said, what's the consumer want? No. We are not a preference-driven church. We're a presence-driven church. We care more about his presence. We want to honor his presence. And so that means we leave room for him to speak. We leave room for him to move. And so that's what we do here. And that's why we do it. And so some of you, you're new to this, and you're like, I don't know if I like this. Take the 3-week challenge. We tell people, try us for 3 weeks. If we're not the church for you, we'll try to help you. We'll try to direct you to another church. There's other great churches in town. We love the church. But we love his presence and how he meets us and how he meets people here. We see testimonies. We see healings. We see freedom. We see deliverance every week. And he's moving in so many different ways. And so I'm thankful you're here today. And I'm thankful for the plan that he has for you. He's doing something great in your life right now. When you come and receive the word of God, it's a seed, it says. And his word never returns void. And so every time we preach the word of God, we know that there's a seed planted, and maybe it won't sprout forth that week, But maybe 6 weeks or 6 months or somewhere 6 years down the road, shoot, I should pick a different number. That's 666. 8 years down the road. Sorry, Lord. It's going to sprout forth. A few weeks back, I told someone, I was preaching, and I said, the Lord had put this on me, this exact number. He said, there's going to be people that come, and they'll show up for one Sunday, and they'll be like, that wasn't for me. And they'll go to a bunch of other places. They'll go to other churches. And they'll look around, and then they won't even go to church at all for a little bit. But about 6 to 8 months after that, there's going to be a hunger that rises in them because there was a seed sown in this house. And they'll realize, I'm hungry for the bread of God. I'm hungry to come and worship Him. I'm hungry for His presence. I'm hungry for more of Him. And so every 6 to 8 months, there'll be people that they'll come back after that time period and they'll say, this is where we need to be. We felt the Lord calling us back. And it was that week, that Sunday, this young couple came up to me right up here during ministry time. And that hit them because it had literally been, I think he said, 6 months before that they had come for one of their family members' baby dedications. And they were like, that's good. We don't need to go back. And then 6 months later, they were drawn back into the house of the Lord. And what was that? That was a word of knowledge. He still speaks like that. Some of you are like, is this guy reading my mail today? Or some of you were here last week when we had Chris Kildosher here, and you're like, how does he know this? How does he know? It's nothing we do. We're not fortune tellers. It's just that the Lord tells us something, we say it, we speak it. It's called a word of knowledge in 1 Corinthians. And the Lord will give a word of knowledge because it brings a revelation. It brings a holy revelation to somebody that's the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit. No man can do that. And so I just want to encourage somebody. Somebody in here today, you've had your mail read and you're like, how does he know that I'm going through that? How does he know that I'm feeling that right now? The Holy Spirit knows. I don't know. But I know that He loves you, and I know He cares for you, and I know that He wants to bring you out of that season you're in. He wants to heal you. He wants you well. He cares about you. He wants to save you more than anything, and He wants to deliver you from the bondage, from the demonization that you've been living under. That's who He is. He's a healer. He's a savior. He's a deliverer. It's what He does. Let Him do it. Say yes to Him today. Don't miss out today. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. That was like a whole sermon off once. I forgot. That was what I read. I was like, that was like a whole other sermon right there. Like, that's it. That's His scripture. It's living and active. It's living and active. There can be one line that you read and it's for you today. When you go home today and you open up Psalm 40 and you're like, I think I need to read that one more time. There might be one line that He pops out to you and says, this is for you today. That it's a living and active word. His word is not dead. It's still alive. Jesus is still alive. He's not in the tomb anymore. He's still living and He's still active and He still speaks. He's speaking to you today. Say yes to Him. Oh Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. You got that person in your life that keeps saying, aha, aha. And you're like, when are they going to get theirs? Let the Lord take care of justice. Let the Lord take care of driving back your enemies. What do you do right now? You just turn to Him and you pray for your enemies. And you pray blessing over them and you forgive them. Those that have hurt you in this season, release them. Let them off the hook. And you're like, you don't know what they did to me. They hurt me. They did things that were unspeakable to me. I've sat in deliverance sessions with people and they've shared some of the most unspeakable things that other humans have done to them. But they knew for them to get free, they had to forgive that person. I've sat in sessions that I'm sick to my stomach. And I'm like, I can't believe another human would do that. Like to a child. And I've heard those same people pray forgiveness for that person that hurt them and wounded them and did that unspeakable thing to them. Because they understood the truth of his word, that forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. It's not for them, it's for you. You keep holding that over them and you keep kind of like holding them on the hook and being like, oh, they owe me, they did this, they wronged me. And it's created bitterness and hardness in your heart. When you forgive them, it's not for them, it's for you. Let your heart be open and free again. He wants to restore the innocence that was stolen from you as a child. What the enemy has stolen, he wants to give back to you. He wants to redeem and restore the innocence that was stolen in that season. He's a good God. He's a good father. He wants to restore that so you'll have the innocence of a child. What did Jesus say? Be like the children. Some of you have a hard time with faith, and you got a lot of bitterness, and you got a lot of doubt, and you got a lot of skepticism, but you're still here today. Praise God. Like, he loves that. He sees you, and he loves that you're here today. But he wants to heal you so that he can restore the innocence that was stolen from you as a child. Let him heal you today. Begin to pray for forgiveness for that person, that enemy. Let them off the hook today. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Even if you don't feel it, just begin to say, Jesus be magnified, Jesus be magnified. Just begin to declare that over your life. Declare that in worship. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. I'm just believing it's going to happen suddenly, that the delay is going to end really quick for some of you in here. It's just going to happen in a moment. I just believe that. I believe that. Yeah. I believe that. He wants to bring you out. Repentance. Just turn back to him today. Just turn back to him and say, Lord, your ways are better than my ways. Go to Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. If you've invited Jesus in, if you said yes to Jesus, he's in your heart. The Holy Spirit is in your heart. What's in your heart? The law is within your heart. And some of you are like, well, I don't need to do anything to be saved. You're right, you don't. But some of us, we've completely thrown out the law and his word. But Jesus did not come to throw out the word, but to fulfill the word. He's the fulfillment of the word, of the law. I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart. Whether I'm in the miry clay or whether I'm on the mountain, I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart. You guys got a cheat sheet up there. All right. Say it with me. I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart. Okay, now close your eyes. I delight to do your will, oh my God, and your law is within my heart. One more time. I delight to do your will, oh my God, and your law is within my heart. And some of you, the first time you said that, you're like, all right, I'll do it, whatever. But that third time, all of a sudden you're like, maybe I do want this. I want to delight in his will. I want to delight to do his will. As he grows you and matures you in this season, it's going to go from I have to I get to. Things are going to change and shift. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do anything. You're saved by grace. I know that. You know that. But all of a sudden, you're going to realize, oh my goodness, there's a life of delight that I've been missing out on. I delight to do your will, oh my God. Why? Because his will is better than your ways. every way you've been going. Some of you are here today. You've been doing it your own way, your own will. You've been trying to force your way through for a long time, and every season seems to be harder than the last. And I'm telling you, if you would repent and turn back to him and say, your will is better than my way, Lord, he's going to show you the blessing and the favor. He's going to open up doors, and he's going to show you provision and protection that is supernatural that you didn't know could exist. And he's going to rain that down on your life. He'll open the windows of heaven in this season. Malachi 3, verse 10. Go there. Malachi 3, verse 10. Right before Matthew. There's a testing. We go through tests. We do not test the Lord. Like, there's warnings about don't test God, don't test him. Like, his people tested him in the wilderness. What happened? They had to go 40 years wandering through the wilderness, and they missed out on the promised land. There's one place where he says, test me, test me. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Another version says, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Test him and see. He's good. Test him with the least of these things and see how he begins to trust you with the great. He begins to trust you with more. As you pass that test, he's going to raise you up. It's a testing season. He wants to raise you up. All right, worship team, now you can come back up as we get ready to close. That was a short break. Why does he test? Some of you are like, why does he test me? This test is so hard. Why is he doing this? You got to pass the test to move on, right? In our huddle today, I had my third grader going into fourth grade coming up this fall. I had him right here. And I felt the Lord bringing this to mind. I told him and I told our team, I said, Maverick, they're not going to give you the same test that they gave you in third grade. Some of you, you're a little frustrated because you're like, I've already passed the test. I know it. I passed these tests. They were hard. They were difficult. I passed. The Lord brought me through and I made it. And you get those tests now. You understand them. You can be successful in them. And you're like, I just want those again. You're not a third grader anymore. You're moving into fourth grade. There's new tests. There's new trials. Trust him through it. There's things that he wants to teach you in this season to elevate you, to lift you up, to move you from third grade to fourth grade, from fifth grade to sixth grade. You're moving into a new season. The tests change. But he doesn't change. He's still faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then his word is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And some of you are here today and you're like, man, this guy talks about the Old Testament a lot. That's the Old Testament. We don't need the Old Testament. If he doesn't change, if he's the same yesterday in the Old Testament, and he's the same today in the New Testament, and he's the same tomorrow, it all matters. And so, I just want to challenge you today. I read that Malachi verse, and you're like, one of you in here was like, that's Old Testament. I don't have to tithe anymore. You're right, you don't have to tithe. You're not saved by tithing. You're saved by grace, but you're blessed by tithing. If you want the blessing, take it. If you want to live your whole life in the miry pit, in the miry clay, with nobody that is ever going to bring you up out and set you on a firm foundation, then fine, stay in the pit. But if you want out of the pit today, would you just stand and praise? If you want out of the pit today, would you just stand and praise? Some of you, you didn't praise in those first three songs. You didn't lift your hands. You didn't sing. And you're like, I didn't feel like it. I got to be true to myself. Be true to the Lord today. What's his word say about praise? It says, lift your hands. Lift a shout. Sing. Sing unto him. Bow. Kneel before him. He doesn't care how you feel. He's worthy whether you feel like it or not. If you want him to lift you up out of the pit today, praise him like you believe he's going to lift you up out of the pit today. I feel like we should shout to that. Let me give you another chance. Let me give you another chance. Nate Baker, he's the man. He'll lead us in this. Hallelujah. He says hallelujah more than anybody I know. One of my sons, I think it was Jet, I started hearing him say hallelujah one time. I was like, you've been around Nate Baker, haven't you? Because you give a hallelujah in every season, whether you're in the pit or whether you're on the firm foundation, because you know even when you're in the pit, you got a God that's going to lift you up and raise you up out of it. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Come on.